And I'm banking now on my own experience. One of my favorite texts was 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And since there is one and only one mediator between God and man is Jesus Christ, what do you need a pope for? What do you need priests for? What do you need Mary for? What do you need saints for? There is one and only one mediator, the man Jesus Christ. So what do we do? Leave the church. Let's join us. No. Well, actually, if you look at that verse in context, you discover not a potential contradiction with the faith, but the foundation of the Catholic Church's doctrine of the priesthood and of the saints' intercession for us, and most especially the Blessed Virgin Mary. If the Blessed Virgin was here this afternoon, she would say, yes. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, my son. And that's why every prayer I pray for you is prayed through him. And every grace I give to you comes to him. Because he is the one and only mediator between God and man. And so all the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints together go to God through the one mediator. Far from destroying the mediatorial work of Mary and the saints and the priests, that is the foundation on which it's all constructed. If somebody came to you and said, and this is what I say to a Bible Christian who uses this verse against the church. If somebody came to you and said, Bill, would you pray for my mother? She's in the hospital and she's undergoing surgery tomorrow. Would you say to her, would you say to your friend, I can't pray for her? There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man Jesus Christ. Don't you think his prayer will suffice? Aren't they enough? No Bible Christian would say that. Because so often, their practice is bigger than their doctrine. They would say, I'd be glad to. And they would. They would pray for your mother. What's the point? The fact that Jesus Christ is the sole mediator is the only basis on which we pray for others. And the saints pray for others. And the Blessed Virgin Mary prays for others. And when priests offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, they're really just giving themselves over to Christ because he is the priest behind the priest, he is the priest in the priest, and that's why the priest says, not this is his body, but this is my body, because he has given his lips, his tongue, his being to Christ for the purpose of blessing us. So there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Far from undermining Catholic teaching about the priesthood, or the Blessed Virgin Mary, or the saints' intercession, that is the basis for a proper understanding of what the Church intends for us to believe. Matthew 23:9, call no man father. You ever heard that one before?
Yeah.
Why? Because you have one father, and that is your Father in heaven. So what do we make of this? Well, you'd have to say once again that you're taking the text out of context. In Matthew 23, verse 9, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and scribes, and he's warning the people all about their tendencies, their errors. He begins by saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seats to practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but they don't practice. And it goes on to describe how these men love to get the applause and the attention, and how they love to be called father or teacher. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, you are all brethren, and call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. So Jesus is warning about these people who love to be recognized as great, and he says, don't fall for it. And in fact, just 3 or 4 verses later, he says of them, woe to you scribes and the Pharisees, this is verse 15, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to make a single convert, and when he becomes a convert, you end up making him twice as much a child of hell as you are yourselves. That's strong language. Is that the kind of person you want to call father? A Pharisee who travels land and sea to find you, to convert you, and make you in Jesus' eyes twice as much a child of hell as he is? That's not the kind of spiritual fatherhood we need. This is the wrong recipe for fatherhood. So what does Jesus mean? That nobody can be called father. Call no man father. But you know what? You take that text out of context if you conclude from it that you can't refer to anybody as father. You've got to study the context and see who Jesus had in mind, people who longed to be called father, rabbi, and master, even though they were leading people down the wrong path. So what else can you turn to for insight? Well, it's important to turn to Ephesians 3, verse 14, where Paul states, I bow my knees before the Father in heaven, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named. Ephesians 3:14 describes how Paul bows before God, the only perfect Father from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is derived or named. So you've got in God the only perfect Father, and you've got in heaven and on earth others who derive their fatherhood, their spiritual and natural paternity from God. So Paul puts Jesus' statement in perspective by showing us that ultimately God alone is the only true and perfect Father, but that does not undermine the fatherhood of other people. It is the basis for it. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and earth is annihilated? No, is named, is derived, is based. So in my own home, over my five kids, Michael, Gabriel, Hannah, Jeremiah, and Joseph, I am a symbol, a representative of God the Father. My authority as father is derived from God's fatherly love and authority. And so I see myself as a rung in the ladder that my children are to climb and stand upon in ascending to heaven to meet their father and my father. That's all a priest is. That's all a pope is. And the priest and the pope in the Catholic Church know that and teach it if they're faithful to the church. Besides that, in Acts chapter 7, you have Stephen giving a speech, which ends up getting him martyred, of course. But in that speech, he refers to the Old Testament saints, especially Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And more than a dozen times, he refers to these men as our fathers in the faith. Our fathers, our fathers. And in referring to the patriarchs as fathers, would he be contradicting the clear teaching of Jesus? Would he be undermining the message of his Lord? No, not at all. Likewise, in 1 John, we have John addressing a church. And in speaking to the old men, the middle-aged, and the younger men, he refers to them as members of the family of God, and he does so with language that we should recognize. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 13, he says, I am writing to you fathers. You notice that? What does he say? I am writing to you fathers. Did you stop calling yourself fathers? No. I am writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. And I'm writing to you the young men because you have overcome the evil one. And then in verse 14, a second time, I write to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. So he's writing to the oldest Christians in that church saying, you are spiritual fathers, but you know him who is from the beginning. That is the infinite Father, God the Father, who is the basis of your authority. So love and serve the church like a good father loves and serves his family. Likewise, Paul states to the Corinthians, he's talking about the factions that divide the church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, Paul says this, for though you have countless guides in Christ, many people have provided guidance, though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Now how could Paul state what he says in 1 Corinthians 4, 15 without contradicting Jesus' teaching? He's not contradicting Jesus at all. He's only contradicting a misinterpretation of Jesus. So Matthew 23:9, taken in context, does not annihilate the fatherhood of the clergy or the fatherhood of the pope any more than it would annihilate my own fatherhood. No, the fatherhood of God is the basis for all finite forms of fatherhood in the creation. Another text. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired of God and profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So therefore, all Scripture is sufficient, right? Right? Wrong? That's not really what they're saying. Paul is not saying all Scripture is sufficient. You don't need the church. You don't need tradition. For one thing, when he's writing to Timothy, what is he talking about? When he says, pan grafe, all Scripture. He's not talking about the New Testament, because he's in the process of writing part of it. He's talking about the Old Testament, about which no non-Catholic Christian would say, well, that Bible, namely the Old Testament, must suffice, it alone is a sufficient standard. So in other words, you're taking the text out of context if you use it to conclude that the Bible alone is our sole authority. The Bible is sufficient in a practical sense. To see the church and the traditions and the sacraments.
This is the end of side one.